The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Kerach. Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Kohas ben Levi. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohas, the son of Levi. He took himself with Dosan Vaviram, Bnei Eliov, V'Ein Ben Peles, Bnei Reuven. He took Dosan Vaviram and On. These were the children of Reuven. V'Yakumu Lifnei Moshe V'Anoshim Mimnei Yisrael. And he stood up to Moshe and to Yisrael. Chamishim Omosoyim. 250 Nesir Edo Kriye Eit Maid Anshe Shem. He took from Yisrael an additional 250 people. And these 250 people were princes. They were leaders. Kriye Maid Anshe Shem, people of name, people of great stature. Vayikwalu Al Meshe V'Al Aren V'Yemru Aleihem. And they gathered up against Moshe and Aaron, and they said, Rab lochem, ki kol ha'edo kulam kadoshim v'seichem Hashem. You've taken so much. The entire congregation is sanctified, and Hashem dwells amongst them. They all heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Har Sinai, Umadu tishnasu al kal Hashem. And why have you raised yourself up over the congregation of Hashem? Now what was going on? So the Chazal explained. Korach, Moshe and Aaron were all first cousins. Their fathers were brothers. Moshe and Aaron were the sons of Amram, and Korach was the son of Yitzhar. And Amram and Yitzhar, together with other brothers, were the sons of Kohos. And Kohos was the son of Levi. Now Moshe became the Melech. He became the king. The Kuna Gedola, the high priesthood, that went to Moshe's brother Aaron. The Kuna, the priesthood, that went to Aaron's children. Then Moshe gave the Nesius, the head of Kol B'nei Kohos, of the whole, all of the children of Kohos, he gave that to another cousin, Elitzafan ben Uziel, which was a son of another brother, and a younger brother yet. And even though this was all done al pi adibur, whatever Moshe did, this was through the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Almighty. But Korach felt very left out. So he came and he said, look, Moshe and Aaron have divided all of the honors up for themselves. And now the Nesius is given to another cousin. And he's left me out. So therefore, let us go make a protest. Let us revolt. And he got his group together, and he went to revolt against Moshe. Inani, he says, here I'm going to become Ubi Chelek al Dvorov. Now, we have to realize that Korach was not just a nobody. If he was a nobody, he wouldn't have gotten very far, because it's not so easy to make a revolution against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rabbi Nishol Kol HaNavim. He was the greatest prophet that Klal Yisrael ever had. He led Klal Yisrael out of Egypt with Nisim v'Niflos, with enormous wonders. And he was the Melech. He was the king. So not just the nobody can come and actually do anything significant. In addition, Korach didn't come himself. It states he came with a group of Hamishim Umosayim Nisiya Edo Kriyamair Ansheshem, 250 leaders in Israel. Now, how did someone get 250 leaders in Israel? Anshei Shem. All of them were people of great prestige and distinction. And Rashi brings that they were Roshei Sanhedrios. 250 Roshei Sanhedrios. They were all Dayonim, judges, and heads of courts. They were Roshei Bezdin. So from here we see that Korach must have been a man of influence. Now firstly, he was a descendant of the tribe of Levi. And we must understand that to be a descendant of the tribe of Levi meant a great deal. Of all of the Shvatim, of all of the tribes in Israel, Levi was the most distinguished and prestigious. They were set aside from the time of Yaakov Avinu yet, to be Rosh Yeshivas, to sit and to learn and to teach Torah. And may Eilam Le'ovad Levi Avedah Zorah. When it came to the golden calf, the whole tribe of Levi didn't worship Avedah Zorah. When it came to Meraglim, the spies, they refused to get involved. So that itself was a great distinction. Secondly, he was a grandson of Kohos. Kohos was the most prestigious family amongst the Levim. From Kohos, for example, came Amram. Amram was the father, together with Jehoved. They gave birth to Miriam and to Moshe and Aaron. Secondly, Kohos, his family, were given the honor, loses, to carry on their shoulders the Orem and the Shulchan, the Ark, and the table that was in the Kodesh, the Menorah, the Mizboches, and all of the Kli HaKodesh. So this itself gave Korach a great deal of stature in Israel. In addition, he himself was a great Chochem. He was a wise man. He was a great Talmud Chochem. And from him were going to come great descendants. The Chazal bring that who was one of his descendants? Shmuel Hanovi. Shmuel the prophet. And the Chazal say that Shmuel was so great that in his generation he was equal to Moshe and Aaron. And also from Korach was to come Chov Dalet Mishboris Livnei Bonav. There were going to be 24 units of Levim, of his descendants, Kulam Misnabim Beruach HaKodesh, that they would also all be prophets. And the Chazal tell us that Korach himself had Ruach HaKodesh, had a type of prophecy, because he had foreseen this. The fact is, it states this was one of his supports to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu, because he saw that all of this was coming from him. And in addition to this, he had enormous wealth. Mordechai tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, and Daf Kuf Yud Amar Aleph, there's Kole Yakuma Sheber Aglehem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this devastation to Korach and his family, it states that he went down with Kol HaYakum, everything that was around him, all of his possessions. What were those possessions? Omar Rebbe, Omar Reb Levi, Masoi Gimel Meas Prodis, Levonis, Hoyu, Mavtecha Shel Beis Genozev Shel Korach. Korach was so wealthy that he needed 300 white mules merely to carry the keys to his treasures. This is how wealthy he was. Where did he get all of this wealth from? Omar b'chamba b'reb chanino. Gimel matmonius hitmin Yosef b'mitzrayim. Yosef, the Gemara tells us, became the wealthiest man in the world. States he was malakei kol hakesef, because the whole world was in famine and they had to come to him. So he amassed fortunes and fortunes. And he concealed in Egypt all of these fortunes. What happened to them? Achas nisgal sele Korach. One Korach found. So that's why he was so wealthy. He left Egypt with one of these great fortunes. And then the Gemara goes on to ask what happened to the rest of them. And the Gemara says, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech said when he said, Eish shomo lebalav l'rosvei. Some people, wealth is destined for them, but for evil. He would have been a lot better off without this wealth. Because without this wealth, he wouldn't have had so much influence. And without so much influence, he might not have tried to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu. See, wealth is not always a brocha. Sometimes it can be the greatest curse. And what happened to his wealth? It went into the ground with him. But at any rate, we see that Korach was an enormous force in Klal Yisrael. And therefore it states, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi. And he gathered together Dosan Baviram and On ben Peles. And he stood up against Moshe with 250 Edo Kriye Moed Anshei Shem, who were distinguished, well-known leaders of Klal Yisrael. And that's why when Moshe saw this, he knew he had a problem on his hands. Reuven, the children of Reuven went with him, because it states that the family of Kohos camped Teimono on the south side of the Mishkan, because they had to be near the Mishkan to carry all of the Kli HaMishkan, the articles of the Mishkan. The tribe of Reuben, they camped Teimono also on the south side, on the outer south boundary, and they were neighbors. And the Chazal tell us, Eile Rosho, Eile Shechinai, that when there's a Rosho, it's not only an unglück, a misfortune to him, it's a misfortune to his neighbors. Harchek mishochin ra. Never be a shochin. Never be a neighbor. Never live in a neighborhood where there are not good people. When we say not good people, we're not only referring to not good people, we're not only referring to gangsters, or we're not only referring to people who don't keep mitzvahs. What was the matter with being a neighbor to Korach? Still, ay l'rosha, ay l'shchena. How unfortunate it is to be a neighbor to Korach. And this is why they were brought into this also. What was the hate? What did Korach do wrong that the Torah here is telling us? There were a lot of things that Korach did wrong. Firstly, He challenged the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was the Melech, and Moshe was the Rebbe. What it brings from here, Achelik al Melech, Achelik al Rabbe. Secondly, he brought Machlekes, he brought division into Israel. And this was the first major episode of division in Israel. There were many times the people didn't want to listen to Moshe, but not because they challenged his authority, because they were afraid. He said, go into the desert, they were afraid. Go into the sea, they were afraid. He says, there was nothing to eat, there was nothing to drink, they were afraid. But this was not a case of fear. Here he came and said, you're taking all the honors for yourself. Who gave you the right? We're going to take some of these honors back from you. So this was a case where he brought Machlekes b'Yisrael, he divided Israel. Then, naturally, whenever there's Machlekes, there's a great deal of Lashon Hara, there's a great deal of Rechilus, of tailbearing. Like we see here, he comes and says, the whole Kahal is Kodesh. So why are you taking all the honors for yourself? That itself was Lashon Hara. Moshe was taking the honors for himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him who to give the honors. And the Chazal tell us that how did he get all of these people? By saying Lashon Hara on Moshe, and by saying Rechilus and Letzonish. Says they scoffed at Moshe. They brought they like in all Machlekes, they said everything. It says Afilu Nechshdu al Eishesh Ish, that they even threatened him, challenged him, and said that he's taking other people's wives away from them. So there's always all of the Lashon Hara and the Rechilus embroiled. Then there was the Kino. What brought him to this? It says, "Hakino va'taiva va'kovid meitzinas o'odem min ha'olam." If a person doesn't control his passions of jealousy, of desire, of lust for honor, it will drive him out of the world. We see here, virtually, it drove him out of the world. So this also he was nichshol in. And we see also the Chazal say, use the Lashon tipshus. Tipshus means foolishness. He was a fool. He wasn't a fool because he wasn't clever. He was clever. He was wise. But you can be a wise fool also. He was a fool. He was a fool to attempt such a coup. How many times do we read in history? The fact is, the downfall of most leaders, most tyrants, who are all great people when it comes to capabilities. If we're speaking about the Tsar or Napoleon or whoever you want to speak to about, is they became foolish. They made a foolish step. And what led him to this foolishness? Illusions of grandeur. He saw great glory in kingship, in kahuna and priesthood, in the sius, in being a prince. And he saw ancestors come, descendants coming from him. So with the illusions of grandeur, he got carried away. It's interesting to note that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Kufyud. The Gemara says that on own Ben Peles, he's called Ben Peles, the word Pella, because a wonder happened to him. Because his wife, he had a very, very good wife. Actually, it states that Korach had a wicked wife. She drove him on. She said, look what they've taken. They're dividing everything between themselves and they're leaving you out. Same mishpocha, same family. Own had a wonderful wife. And she brought him, shocked him back into reality. She told him, what is this tipshus? And she said very, very clever to him. She said to him, Ishta hitzilosei. His wife saved him. Omer lei, my nafka loch mino. She said, what are you getting embroiled in this for? Imarabo? If Mesha is the king, and Talmido, you'll be his disciple. Vimarabo? And if Kerach wins and he becomes the king, and Talmido, you'll still be his disciple. So what are you getting embroiled here for? This is what she told him. See, he woke up, he said, you're right. He says, either way, I have nothing to gain. But then he said, what can I do? They made us all take a shvua, all take an oath, that once we start, there's no backing out. How can I get out of it? So she said, I'll get you out of it. She said, Yodana dekula kinishta kadishto. I know that all of Israel, they're tohor. They're very pure, they're sanctified. States kulam kikul, kola edu kulam kadeshi. So she says, you drink tonight. She gave him a lot of wine and she put him to bed. He fell asleep. And she went out and sat in front of the house. And when she was sitting in front of the house, she uncovered her hair. So any time any of the henchmen came to call him, they saw his wife sitting there with uncovered hair. Oh, they won't come near. And they came, and they couldn't come near. And eventually, even though, before they could do anything, they were swallowed up in the earth. So this is how she saved him from this tipshus. So there were a great deal of avedus that Korach perpetrated here. But for the Gemara, we see that the main avera that the Torah is teaching us about here is machlekes. Because the Gemara brings later on in the Torah, it states, this is in Yud Zayin, near the end of the whole episode, Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hei. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I want everyone to remember what took place. So he told them what to do to make a remembrance. And he said, Zikoron livnei Yisrael, this should be a remembrance to Bnei Yisrael, man asher lo yikrav yishzor asher lo mizera ara in hu lahak tekteres livdei Hashem, in order that no man shall try to usurp the kohuna like Kerach did. Velo yek Kerach v'chada adosei kasher diba asher biyad meshem le. And no man shall be like Korach uka adosei and his group. What does it mean that no man should be like Korach uka adosei? So the Gemara says, Omarav, kol hamachzik b'machlekes, whoever puts his shoulder and supports a machlekes, supports strife, is eva b'lav, transgresses a leisaseh, negative commandment in the Torah. Shenemar, as it states, v'lo yech kerach uka adosei, that you shall not be like Kerach uka adosei. The Gemara doesn't speak about a machlekes in which you try to overthrow the king, or a machlekes in which you try to overthrow the Rebbe, right? Or a machlekes in which you try to usurp the kohuna, or the Loshon Hora, or the Rechilus. It says, kol hamachzik b'machlekes, whoever puts his shoulder to a machlekes, who supports strife in Israel, is eva b'lav, transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, v'lo yech kerach uka adosei. So it states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take these instruments and set them aside, that it should be a zikorein, a remembrance always for Klal Yisrael, in order that you shouldn't be kerach uka adosei. What did he mean? You shouldn't be like Korach that created Machlekes B'Yisrael. This is a lav. This is a negative commandment. Unfortunately, most people are not aware of this. You think Machlekes? What's wrong with Machlekes? We always have Machlekes. It's stimulating. It's good to have. Brings in different ideas. Right? Mora says it's a lav. It's kekeira ukadosoi. And a lav means it's more chomer than not putting on tefillin, because tefillin is just a beetle essay. This is a lav. A lav is the same as nevelis, eating treifus, eating nevelis, eating chazir, whatever you want. Now this is a the Chofetz Chaim, Zichreinu Livracha. In his psicho to the Sefer the Chofetz Chaim, he starts to list that when someone speaks Loshon Hora, he lists all of the essays, Velesha says, all of the other commandments, positive and negative, that one would be over, or one could be over, besides the Isurim, the prohibitions of Loshon Hora, because of whatever else can come from it. So in the Lavin, Yud Beis, he brings it. Vimu Machzik B'machlekes Al Yidei Sipurei. Many, many times, through Loshon Hora, you start Machlekes, you start a quarrel. Eiver Belav. Then it'll be over the negative commandment of Lo Yeh Kekeirach Ukaadosoi. This is a prohibition on Machlekes. In his Hagos, in his notes, he goes further and he says, this is a real lav. He says, the Shmag, Sefer Mitzvah's Gold brings it, Rabbeinu Yonah brings it, Ayin with Sefer Mitzvah's of the Ramban. And he says, this is by Loshon Hora and Rechilas, and even if it's true, and in the presence of the person you're speaking about, or if not in the presence, and he says it could be even the Makabel. If someone tells you something bad about another person, and you accept it, you could be Machzik Machlekes. It could be you're supporting a Machlekes. You have to show, go. You have to tell him, no, don't tell me that, I'm not interested in it. Don't embroil me in your faribles. But if you listen to him and you accept it, he says, then you're also being Machzik Machlekes. He says, if you would have shown him that you're not interested in what he's saying, many times people want to be polite. So they listen. But that's being polite on someone else's cheshbon. You have to tell them, listen, you have a feribble with Pliny, let's keep it at that. Don't bring me in it. I'm not interested. And he says, if a person would have done that, then he limits the Machlekes, Nishka Machlekes. And since he doesn't do it, he's Machzika Machlekes, he supports it. He's giving it more energy. And he says, you would be Eiver Alav. He also would transgress this law. Now, what happened to Kerach from this? So the Torah tells us the story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, first he came and he said, he bodlu b'techa Edo. He told Moshe and Aaron, separate from this Edo Hazis, v'achal eisim kiroga, and I'll destroy the whole Edo immediately. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Naren said, "Kele lekei ruches lechol boso ish echod yechtev va'al kol ha'edo tiktzoif." Just because you have a few rebels here, so you're going to take it out on the whole congregation. So he said, "All right, hey, olu misoviv lemishkan keirach dosen vavir." He says, "Go away from the tents of Keirach and dosen vaviro." So they separated themselves. This was after Moshe had tried to negotiate several times the whole night. He tried to negotiate Shalom. So they went away. And he said, Surano mi'al ole anoshim arashoy. See? So Moshe told the whole congregation, go away from them. Don't touch anything that's theirs. And Doson, Kerach, Doson, Baviram, they were standing there. And Moshe said, "B'zeis teidun ki Hashem shlochani lasis is kol ha'maisim ha'elu ki lemi bi." He says, "This will be the true test if what I did was right and it was from Hashem." In kemeis kol odem yumusu ne'elu, if these people will die like everyone else, ufkudes kol odem yipokar aleihem le Hashem shlochani, then Hashem didn't send me. But im bria yivra Hashem, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create a new creation of Fortis Adom Espiho, and the earth will open its mouth, uvola eson v'eskol ha'shelohem, and swallow them and everything they have, the yordu chayim she'ola, and they will go down to the grave alive, then vidatem, then you will know that these people have stood up not against me, but against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ahi kechaleisa ledaber eskol ha'dvorim eile, and soon Moshe finished speaking, v'tiboka ha'adom asher tachteihem, the earth opened up, tiftach oretz espio, v'tivla ha'isom v'esbotehem v'eskol odom asher lekerach, v'eskol ha'rechush, and swallowed them all up. And they went down alive to their graves, and then the earth closed up over them. And then everybody raised their voices in great fear, and a fire came out, v'teichel esachamishim o'masayim ish, and consumed the other 250 of his group. So this is what happened. Now, we can ask, if the main chait, the main transgression, was machlekes, all right, we can understand machlekes is not a good thing. Not good. But firstly, why did the end justify the means? Was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring such a mapolo, such a punishment on them? Where all of a sudden the earth opens up and swallows them alive and everything of theirs. And they yordu chayim she'olah, and they go down alive to the grave. And secondly, states in the Mishnah Ovis, Perikei Mishnah Tes, Yudvorim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Kodesh Baruch Hu created 10 things right before the first Shabbos of Maaseh Bereishis. One was Pio Oretz, the mouth of the earth that was going to open up for Korach Be'adoser. This was a creation, a special creation. Then it states one of the psukim that we read says Bidoson Vayeolu me'al mishkan kerach dosen vavirom isovim vidosen vavirom yotsu nitsovim pesach oleyem. Kerach and Dosen and Aviram were in front of their tents, standing and scoffing at Moshe. Unishehem uvenehem v'tapom. Their wives, their sons, and tapom. Tapom are even the yontke shodaim, the children that are still nursing at the breast. And when they were swallowed up, all of these were swallowed up. And Rashi brings from the Chazal, come and see how stringent machlekes is. If a person does an aveira, bezdin, the courts can't touch him until he's 13 years old. A girl 12 years old, and he's 13. U bezdin shalmalo, and the bezdin of the heavens, the heavenly courts, do not punish him until he's chofshon, until he's 20 years old. The kan ovdu af yem keshodayim, and here were destroyed even the children, the infants that were still nursing. Now why so severe? This is a kasha, a question to us, because we do not properly understand what does it mean, machlekes. If we would properly understand what machlekes means, then we won't be asking these questions. First of all, the ramifications. What happened after this? It states in Pasuk Vov, Yud Zayin Vov, Vayileinu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael mimachores al meshiv al aron lemor. The next day it should be peaceful. Kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael, came and they started to complain and criticize Moshe and Aaron. Atem hamitem es am Hashem. You are killing the nation of Hashem. Moshe and Aaron are killing the nation of Hashem. Moshe and Aaron saved the nation of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, He bodlu mitecha edo hazeis. Told Moshe and Aaron, go away from this congregation. Achalei som kerega, I will destroy them totally. And it was Moshe and Aaron that said, because one man is going to sin, you're going to take it out on everyone. They limited the punishment. What did the whole nation come in now and criticizing Moshe? And said, Atem amitem esam Hashem. And when Moshe heard this, again, his hands were weakened. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hey, reimu mitecha eda azeis. Go away from this nation, va'achalei som kerega. And I will destroy them instantly. We see how machlekes distorts the truth. They were influenced. The whole nation was influenced by this machlekes. When Korach stood up against Moshe, they started to think, maybe he's right. Maybe Moshe is wrong. Maybe Aaron is wrong. And now look, more tragedy has come. More bloodshed has come. And you start to get confused. Like we live in a time today where people will stay. The courts do not have, should not give out capital punishment or corporal punishment because there'll be courts of bloodshed. That's what people tell us. There'll be courts of bloodshed. So therefore, instead of having the bloodshed of the guilty, we live in a time where there's bloodshed of the innocent. Who's causing the bloodshed? Atem heimatem is am Hashem. You're killing the nation of Hashem. This is what machlekes distorts. What was the further ramification from this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a plague on the people, on those that were standing up against Moshe. Vayu amesim b'magefa arbo osar elef ushpa me'os. And those that died that day in the plague were 14,700 milvad hamesim al dvar Korach, besides those that died with Korach. 14,700. So Machlekes had killed roughly 15,000 people. This is what Machlekes caused. But this is just a ramification. This is not the essence of it. The essence of Machlekes is very deep. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and that Yud Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us, Omar Rav Amnuna Mishmeid Ula, Osa Lo'odem Shiyitin L'chaveru Sholom B'Beis HaMerchetz, Mishum Shenema V'yikur Alei Hashem Sholom. The Gemara tells us that a person is not allowed to extend to another person shalom. Not allowed to say shalom. Shalom aleichem to another person in a Beis HaMerchetz, in a bathhouse. Because a bathhouse is not a clean place. And therefore, you're not allowed to mention the name of Hashem in such a place. And shalom is one of the names of Hashem. The Maral in his Nesiva Shalom, Perek Aleph, asked a good question. He says, what about emes? Can you say the word emes? True. In a bathhouse? We do not find any place where prohibits the saying of emes. and still Chesomei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes states that the banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. And there are a lot of such Gibor, Gevura, that's a description of Hashem. Strength, Nora, awesome and fearful, that's a description of Hashem. Tov is a description of Hashem. You shouldn't be able to say any of those words in the Bethels. Yeah, so why does the Gemara Chapsu, what does it only come to Sholem for? So he says the answer is there's a difference between a description of Hashem and there's a difference between the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these other words are descriptions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, truth, he's strong. Sholem is not a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sholem is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because everything he created, incomplete. Nothing is a whole. Nothing is all encompassing. So everything is incomplete. We all need something else, someone else. We all need to eat, we all need to drink, and so forth and so on. So therefore everything is a chelek. Everything is just a part. What is whole? What is all encompassing? That's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He lacks nothing and he encompasses everything. And therefore he's mashlim es habriya. He puts the whole creation together into one. The only one in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else is part of that one. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Hashem Echot. Whenever you have two, then there's not a one, because there's another one. You've divided. So there's only one in the world. And that one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All-encompassing. There can be nothing besides him, because he's all-encompassing. People or any creation, they are only protim, they are only parts. And who puts them all together? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The actual word machlekes comes from the word chelek, chiluk, a part, to divide. And the word shalom comes from the word shalem, shlemus, which means whole, entire. Therefore, shalom is not a mere description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are telling what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. He is the all-encompassing that unites everything together. And this is how he's mevarech when the Gemara comes along, the Medrash comes along and says that we're always chesmin b'shalom. We always conclude everything with shalom. For example, Birchas Kahanim, the last brach of Yosem Lecho Shalom. Shmein Esrei, Amavorech Esama Yisrael Bashalom. By the Korbonis, the last one was the Shlomim. Because the final conclusion of everything is to unite it. And then you make it one. Accordingly, if we would want to know what the etzem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and the etzem of the Shekhinah, it is that what is whole, what is that what is shalom. And therefore, machlekes, division, and dissension cannot be more foreign than Shekhinah, than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And division and dissension cannot be more contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is in particular by Yisrael more than the nations of the world. Why? Because Yisrael, They emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're madama themselves. They try to follow Hashem. They were given Shekhinah. Therefore, they also have this essence of being one. And where Machlekes is entirely contrary to their nature and foreign to them. The nations of the world, to the contrary, are not like that, not to that degree. By Israel it says, Goy Echod Bo'oretz. They're one nation. What does it mean, one? They're one. The nations of the world are Shivim 70. 70 represents an enormous ribui, tremendous volume. States the Maral always brings, for example, in the Torah it says, Beshiva Drochim Yonusu. They will chase you, or you will chase them in seven ways. Seven always represents the most scattered. So 10 times 7 is 70. 70 represents being scattered and a ribui. One is single. Ever since the creation of the world, on the first day, was Machlekes. First day the world was created was Machlekes. Cain killed Hevel. And every day since the first day of creation, there has been Machlekes in the world. And this is part and parcel of the nations of the world, because they're far from Shekhinah, they're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that represents one in its entirety. They are 70. And that's why the Chazal, whenever they refer to history, we have a subject called world history. The Chazal, the sages, have a different name for world history. They say Hagoyim u'milchamaseihem. The name for world history is the nations and their wars. That's the history of the nations. And if you'll study history, you'll see that. Hagoyim u'milchamaseihem. Nations and the wars. That's history. History is just a recordance of the nations and the wars. By Abraham, when he rose up, he was called Yechidei Shel Olam. He was the Yochid. He was one. And Yitzchak, and in particular Yaakov, because Yaakov came to unite Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yaakov was called Ishtam, Shlemato. He was in totality. That's why it's brought here that the Chazal ask, why does it say Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi? Why stop at Levi? Why not Yaakov? Because when Yaakov saw Machlekes coming to Israel, which is the total antithesis of Shekhinah, and the total antithesis of what he did, Yaakov was the one who had the 12 sons and he united them all into one. He said, Bikesh Yaakov Rachami. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. He said, don't mention my name when it comes to Korach v'Ha'adosai. In particular, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there in particular was the Shleimus of Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, because that's the main place of the Shekhinah, of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells. And that's why when Korach came up, Moshe told him, he said, Mara, he says, Omalehem, he told Korach and his men, he says, what you're doing is good by the nations of the world. He says, by the nations, they have many clergymen, they have many priests, they have many churches, they have many different ways. But ein onu ein lonu el Hashem echod. We have only one Hashem. Aren echod. We only have one Oren, one Ark. Torah achas, Mizbeach echod, Kohen Godel echod. Only one Kohen Godel. We're one. Now you come in and you want to introduce new things and you want to split Israel. And this is why we find that whenever there was machlekes in Israel, not only it was a machlekes, it was churban to Israel. It was churban to the goy echot. It was devastating to the one nation. It was devastating to Yaakov. It was devastating to Shechina. And that's why machlekes brought churban to the Beis Hamikdash. And machlekes brought golus from Eretz Yisrael. What is golus? Golus is pizor. Okay? Is the fragmentation of the one nation. This is golus. And we find this in Torah. States Misha Nisrabe Talmidim shall Beishamai u Beisilu shall Aishim shall Kol Tzorchei. When the disciples of Beishamai and Beisilu started to proliferate and they were not Chachomim sufficient. Nisrabe Machlekes Bisrael. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Mamrim, the first perek, Halacha Dalet, he brings something that we've mentioned here in the past, but many people are not aware of this. He says, "Kishohoye bezdin agodol kaim," when the great court was existed, the Sanhedrin, "lohoy sa machlekes b'Israel," there was never a machlekes b'Israel. There was no two ways. There were not two ways of doing one thing. Many people tell us that it's good to have variety. It's good to have many different ways. It's good to have differences of opinions. This is not Torah. Ela kol din shenelit beisofik leechod miYisrael. Whenever there was a shaila, it was brought to the Bezdin in his city. If they ruled one way, then the entire city had to follow. There were no two ways. There were no two authorities. In fact, it's brought here that the punishment was the most severest punishment in the Torah by someone who would stand up and refuse to accept the ruling of the Bezdin, of the Sanhedrin. If they could not resolve it, then it was brought to Yerushalayim and to a higher Bezdin, Har HaBayis. If they resolved it, then it became law. If they couldn't resolve it, then it was brought to a higher Bezdin, Al Pesach HaAzora. If they resolved it, it became law. If they couldn't resolve it, then it was brought to the Sanhedrin Agdola Lishkes HaGozis Bezdin Godl. If they knew the halacha, then they resolved it. If they didn't know the halacha, then they sat down and they had to debate it until everyone agreed to it. And if everyone couldn't agree to it, then Yamdu Leminyan. Then they would call for a vote. And once a vote was taken, and the halacha was like the majority, and this became the halacha for Kol Yisrael, and no one could deviate from this halacha. Therefore, and that's what it means, ki mitzion teitze sora, because this was in Zion, this was in Yerushalayim, and from there went out Heira to the whole world, and no one in the world was allowed to deviate. If an individual, if a Talmud Chochem refused to accept it, he was Okin Mamre, and he was put to death. Therefore, Kishohoye Bezdin HaGodl Kaim, Lohoye Shamachlekes B'Yisrael. At the time of the Bezdin HaGodl, there were no two ways in Israel. Nishabotl Bezdin HaGodl, Rob Shamachlekes B'Yisrael. When the great court dissolved because of the Churban, then Machlekes came to Israel, Zematama, Zemataiher, Zeisha, Zematir. One would say Tomei, one would say Tohor, one would say it's permitted, the other would say it's prohibited. The Medrash brings in Parshas Bereishis the Medrash states as follows. In the second day of creation it states Bayom Elokim Yorkia B'Seich HaMoyim, Hashem said, let there be a firmament between the water, and it will separate between the upper waters and the lower waters. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided, Vayabdil, he divided between the waters, Vayer Vayabokeh Yom Sheni. And it was evening and day, the second day. The Medrash asks, Loma Ein Ksi B'Sheni Kitov, why doesn't it say on the second day it was good? Every day of creation it says Kitov, and on the second day it doesn't. So Rabbi Yechanan said Shabbai Nivra Gehenim, because Gehenim was created on the second day. Rabbi Hanina said because Machlekes was created. What Machlekes? Division. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the waters and he divided them. He said, and if this was division for the sake of the world, so how much more so can we see how it's not good for the destruction of the world? And Reb Shmuel said, "Shalei nigmar amlechas hamayim." The waters were not finished on the second day, and they were continued into the third day. And since it was not finished, therefore on the third day it says ki tov twice. Now the Maral says all of these three answers are basically the same principle. This that it said that he created Gehenim, or this that he said that was Machlekes, or this that he said it wasn't finished. Gehenim is the absence of a reality, and therefore you cannot say Tov. Tov is the total reality that lacks nothing. Machlekes, we explained, is the same thing, is where you divide, therefore it's not an entirety. And Shalei Nigmara, that it wasn't concluded, is the same thing. It wasn't finished. Tov is something which is Shalem, which is in totality. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here I will create a Gehenna. They're coming to destroy that what is Shalem, that what is the ultimate in Tov. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quality in the world. Then I will open up the earth for them, and they will go down to where it's dark. They will go down where there's the absence of anything, just the contrary to Tov. Now, according to everything that we said, we see that the level of Sholem is something which is very, very great, and it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And it's something that we have to strive for. It doesn't come by itself. One should not think that he can sit around and it'll come to him. Dovra Melech said, Bake Shalom v'rotfehu. Seek Shalom, seek peace, and run after it. Why? It won't come to you. Because it's from a different world. It's an enormous level. And the Gemara brings even here that Moshe kept calling Dosan Vaviram. He kept sending shluchi messengers after them. Because it states, he was Eimach Zikin B'machlekes. He was Mohal Al Kfeidai. He even waived his own honor in order to try to bring peace. Therefore, a person has to run from Machlekes, be Bereach Mina Machlekes, like he has to run from the Malach HaMoves. When he sees Machlekes, he should run from it like the angel of death. If a person lives in a neighborhood where there's Machlekes, he should run from it. for his life. If he davens in a place where there's machlekes, he should run from it. Because don't think there's shechina there. There is no shechina there. That's kekerach ba'adosoy, wherever he might be. And he has to be bereach. Ba'kei sholem v'rot fehu, he has to pursue the peace. He has to labor for it and seek it. Now, the time is getting quite late. I want to make just two further points. In Shulchan Aruch, Ibn Ezer is brought. It states that if a person has fulfilled the mitzvah of Pruvu, he has a son and a daughter. States, nevertheless, he should keep on having children, because there's an additional mitzvah, a mitzvah midibrei Kabbalah from the Tanakh of Altonach Yotko. He should not stop. He should have more. What happens if, heaven forbid, his wife dies? States he must get married, and he should look for an isha bas bonim. He should look for a woman that can have children yet, because there's a mitzvah for him to have more children. Then states the Ramo brings, this is in Ibn Ezer, Siman Aleph Siv Ches. He says, what happens if he's afraid to marry a woman that's capable of having children? Because he has a number of children himself, and he's afraid that if he'll have more children by her, there's going to be quarrel and fighting. Many times it happens that he'll have in the house his own children, and he'll have in his house children that are from his new wife, and the children don't get along, and then the wife has to support the other children in their machlekes. It starts bringing a rift between him and his wife, and this is what he's afraid of. That is, so then he says, "Muta liso ishi she'ena bas bonim." He's allowed then to marry a woman who is already past the stage of having children, and he's allowed to transgress that mitzvah zeh midivrei Kabbalah, to transgress that positive commandment midivrei Kabbalah. The question arises, on what basis can he be mevatel that mitzvah? On what basis can he transgress that mitzvah of having more children? The source of this din is brought from the Trumas Adeshin. The Trumas Adeshin says, because mipnei ha-machlekes you can be mevatel even a mitzvah zeh min ha-Torah. Because of machlekes you can even be mevatel a mitzvah zeh min ha-Torah, positive commandment in ha-Torah. Where do we know this from? He says this is the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos on Mem Daled Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, it says in the Torah, "V'kor leizikne irai v'dibro elov," that when a person's brother died, and he left over a wife, and he had no children at all, then this wife, there's a din of yibum, where this, it's a mitzvah on the live brother to take this wife and have children with her. It says that they should come in the Torah, it says they should come to the elders of the city, the Dibru Elov, and the elders of the city will speak to him. Mara asks, what will the elders speak to him about? What is there to speak about? There's a mitzvah to take her, so what's there to speak about? So the Gemara says, Malamet Shemisin Le Eitzah Hegenes Le. It's a mitzvah on the elders of the city to advise him whether he should take her or not. Why should they advise him? Shibhayuhu yeled huzakeno. If he was very young and she was old. Or if she was yaldav huzakeno. If she was very young and he was old. So they would advise him, do not take her. Malacho etzel yaldav. Why are you going after such a young girl when you're so old? Or vice versa. Klach etzel shekameischo. Go after someone your age. Valtachnis ketota veveisecho. And do not bring machlekes, do not bring quarrel into your house. Here he's 20 and she's 60. Or he's 60 and she's 20. Now, Tzumas Adeshin asked the question, how can they give him eitzah, counsel, not to take her. So what's he going to do? So he'll give a chalitza. See, there was chalitza. There was a way that he could free her, and then she can marry who he wants, who she wants. But the Gemara says, Reish Lakish, Omar Reish Lakish, chalitza b'mokam yibum lav mitzvihi, where there's the opportunity to marry her, to give her chalitza is not a mitzvah. So we see that the elders are advising him to be mevatel the mitzvah, not to do the mitzvah. On what basis? We see from here that when it comes to ketota, when it comes to machlekes, you can be mevatel, you can transgress a positive commandment, not a negative, a positive commandment, even minatora. So he says, so certainly over here, about the mitzvah of having additional children after you already had a son and a daughter, which is Bidivrei Kabbalah, which is only from the Tanakh. This is a discussion in the poskim, but the Gaon agrees to the Truma Sadeshim. He says he's right. So we see how far, how Godel HaSholom, how far this goes. Now, I would like to conclude. I once mentioned this from a outstanding story from the Chofetz Chaim. We mentioned this once a while back. I have a friend by the name of Rabbi Rothberg from New York, and he showed me this because the Chofetz Chaim's son in Michtevei Chofetz Chaim, in the Chelek that's called Dugma Mesiches Ovisal, where the son writes about his father, the Chofetz Chaim. So on Daf Pei, in this publication, he brings a story which was told to him. This the son is bringing by Harava Godel Reb Tuvia, Av Bez Nimbluna, a Rav of a Litvisha city called Reb Tuvia. And my friend Rabbi Rothberg, this is his father, Reb Tuvia. So he showed it to me once. And he writes, Reb Tuvia was from the senior Talmidim of the Chofetz Chaim. The fact is, he was in the Chabura that was learning Kochim, the senior group. The Chofetz Chaim used to have learned Kochim, because he said, you have to prepare for the Melech HaMashiach. He's coming, and we have to know what to do when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. And the Chofetz Chaim himself was a Kohen. He says, well, at one time, a great Machlekes broke out into the yeshiva. And this was a story with the Mashkiach. There was a great Mashkiach there, who later on was to become the Mir Mashkiach. Great Mashkiach. And he was the Mashkiach of the yeshiva, and Rav. And he was a Bal Musa. And in those days, there was a great Machlekes in Yisrael. How much Musa, yeah. How much Musa, not. Whatever it was. But a Machlekes broke out in the yeshiva. And the yeshiva was divided. Chatzi b'nei yeshiva hoi al tzidei v'chatzi ha'sheni sisnagdolai. Half the yeshiva was behind him and half was against him. And the lomdim gedolim, the senior talmidim, and you can imagine what a senior talmid was by the Chofetz Chaim and Radin, the senior talmidim from the Chabur of Kochin, they got together and they decided, look, we'll make a bezdin and we will try to resolve this. So the big machlekes. The son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, who was the Menahel HaYeshiva, he didn't tell this to the Chofetz Chaim. He knew the Chofetz Chaim would hear about machlekes, with Loshon Hora, with Rechilas, who knows what would happen, so he kept it concealed from the Chofetz Chaim. But there was only so long he could keep it concealed. Eventually it came out, the Chofetz Chaim heard about it. When the Chofetz Chaim heard about it, he came to the yeshiva that day, and he called the whole yeshiva together for a shmuz, for a sicho. And he spoke Dorash Kishneshos. He spoke for 2 hours, a sicho. Al oven machlekes bimiridus nefesh. And he spoke bitterly on the great aveira of machlekes. And he said, in this machlekes is machlekes, in this kerech v'adosai, in this loshon hara. And he brings a story. He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole machlekes amongst the Tanoim It says that Shlomo was also a sarah b'enei Hashem. He did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem. This is when he started to marry all of the wives and they brought idolatry into Israel. And there's a whole machlekes there. They had a machlekes, will Shlomo HaMelech have a chelek leilam habo or not? Will he have a portion in the world to come or not? And they wanted to paskin that Shlomo HaMelech doesn't have a portion in the world to come. All of a sudden, a fire came down in the Beis HaMedrash, and the benches started to burn. They said, that won't stop us. They wanted to paskin further, they wanted to rule. And then a baskula voice from heaven came down. So he asked the good kasha, he says, what's the difference what they paskin? Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Malochim will do what they want in the Eilam HaBo. Here, it's a difference because we got to listen. But whether Shlomo HaMelech will be let in Eilam HaBo or not, what does it have to do with them? They can paskin what they want, and Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Malochim will do what they want. So what do they have to send fires down for? She said, because, and this has to do with the Gemara we learned not too long ago on Shabbos, because Leba Shemaim, he told us, not in heaven anymore. Kvarnitna v'neodim, it was given to men, and it was given to the Sanhedrin. And what the Sanhedrin will paskin will rule, not only the whole world has to abide by it, but even Shemaim has to abide by it. And if they will rule that Shlomo HaMelech doesn't have a portion in the world to come, then nothing will help, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the angels. And that's why they kept sending fire down, because they held HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Shlomo HaMelech does have a portion in the world to come. So he says, the same thing I say to you. This is what the Chofetz Chaim said. You're great lomdim. You're learning kochim. You've learned 15 years in the yeshiva. G'day le'Torah. And each one of you are saying that there cannot be a greater machlekes than this. It's over a great principle be Israel. But he says, whatever you say or whatever you think, it won't help you. Because in the Tesefta and the Rambam has already paskined that Balei Loshon Hora ein lehem chelek le'ilam habo. Those people that get involved in Loshon Hora, there's no chelek le'ilam habo. So he says it won't help you anything because it's already paskined. The Rambam has already ruled this. And then he said like this. He says, I know you want me to get involved. You want me to take sides. So he said as follows. Ani ema lechem mutav li sheyo'ovdu afilu shivim yeshivas. He says, you know how dear my yeshiva is to me. It is better that I should lose 70 yeshivas then I should become involved in a machlekes and in Loshon Hora. And with that he walked out of the Beis HaMedrash. This is what the Chofetz Chaim said. It would be better for me to lose 70 yeshivas than to get involved in machlekes and Loshon Hora. Now from here we can see just what this Aveira is. We live in a different world today. We live in a world where people think it's the greatest mitzvah. Most people don't. So it's a feribel, it's a machlekes. It's a small aveira. But there are those who think it's the greatest mitzvah to have machlekes. You should know that this is something which is totally foreign to Israel. Totally foreign to the etzem of Israel and to Yaakov Avinu, like he said, do not mention my name here by Korach. Aye, people will tell you, but you find it all over. You find it by the best. This is why we do not have a Beis HaMikdash today. And this is why we do not have Eretz Yisrael b'binyonai, Eretz Yisrael in its glory today. And this is why we do not have Malchus David, the kingship of David. And this is why we are in Golus. So, this gives us an insight into Machlekes and into Shalom and what took place with Korach Va'Adose.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGJ.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.